Coming up, I'm going to share the real reason why you're bored at work, and then what is that impact having on you? And then why Americans don't care as much about work as they used to. This is fascinating stuff. We'll break it down next. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. This is where we help you grow personally so that you can advance professionally and then lead effectively. In other words, winning at work, getting the competitive edge to win at work. So we're going to talk about boredom today because boredom gets overlooked a lot when we talk about thriving at work and winning at work and the impact it has on us. And so we're going to dive into this. Boredom causes as much burnout as being overworked. I think some of you are a little bit shocked by that. Now, they feel very different, but the effect is very similar. A boring job or mindless work that's not stimulating you in any way may seem like an easy way to pay the bill. Some of you are going, I want that boring, mindless job. Okay. But it's killing your soul. That's what you don't see. See, it doesn't feel stressful because, quite frankly, it isn't. But it's a sign that you are in the wrong seat, maybe on the wrong bus. So I want to pause right here, and I want to address the cynics, because there is a massive amount of people in this country and around the world that love the concept of a boring job that doesn't push them, that doesn't pull them. They just say, hey, this is great. I got plenty of mind candy and mind snacks to keep me going through the day, and I barely have to exert myself at all. In fact, maybe exerting is not even in the realm of reality. You just don't ever exert yourself because it is so, in fact, easy and boring. And you say to yourself, and you've convinced yourself, by the way, and I believe that you believe that a boring job is just what you want. But I want to challenge that today. If you're bored at work, it's because you're not operating in your flow state. Now, this flow state theory is based on research that began in the 70s by a guy by the name of Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. You'll never be able to spell that in a million years. But he's the guy known for a very famous talk on flow in a TED talk. So you can go watch it. And I highly recommend, by the way, that as I challenge you on some of this stuff today, if you want to go deeper, it's a fascinating talk, and you can watch it on the TED Talks on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. But to give you the short version, the cliff notes here, it's the state of flow is describing a mental state where someone is fully immersed in an activity or task. It's completely so. Picture going underwater, right? I love those nature shows and an underwater diver, and I'm always fascinated by the camera crews that go underwater and all that. This is full immersion. You are completely in and under the water, and you are in this task. You aren't one foot out, one arm out. You are completely immersed. So how does one achieve a state of flow? This is really simple, but powerful. You achieve a state of flow by finding that healthy intersection between challenge and skill level. So let me explain. If you're doing work that's too easy and it doesn't challenge you, you'll be bored. If you're doing work that's too difficult and overwhelms you, you'll be anxious. So what we want to find here is that intersection where it's a healthy version of both. So start exploring. You know, what does my intersection look like between challenging, right, and being able to meet the challenge, right? So it's challenging, but I've got what it takes to do it. See, boring looks different for everybody. So what could help the challenge side of the equation? This is what you're asking. And if you feel you're bored, this is an exercise. So do you need more work, or does the work itself need to be more challenging? In other words, it's difficult, but doable. Is it time to learn something new? Now, what could help the skill side of the equation? So let's pause here. If I need more challenge. I've already got enough skill, but what I need is more challenge. And I'm looking for a more difficult, a new set of tasks or a role to take on. I've got the skill. I'm just not being challenged by the work. So it's not difficult enough. So we got to, right? We just kind of go over here to this meter and go, okay, I need more challenge. It's got to be difficult, harder. And to give you an example, if you work out with weights, so whenever you start this process, it should be challenging to you, but you never want to overwork it. But as you begin to consistently show up in the gym, then what you're going to have to do is, on some level, you either raise the weight of what you're using, or you do more reps. Either one, what we've done is we've taken the challenge and we've ramped it up. So if I can do a set of 25s each arm, I'm doing curls, and honestly, I mean, I'm getting a little bit of burn, but not much. It's too easy. So what do? I either do more reps. Instead of doing 10, maybe I do 20. Okay. Or I pick up a set of 30s or 35s and I'm going that way. So we all understand that. And if you are bored at work, you've got to look at both of these things. We've got to look at challenge and skill. I need healthy tension there. In other words, I need to be really, really challenged with the skill I have. And as a result, I'm getting better. And I'm more engaged, and this is where flow happens, okay? So what could help the skill side of the equation if it's more skill? It's pretty challenging, but it's too challenging. I raised my hand for something. I got in over my skis, so I'm going to have to get more skill. And by the way, we're constantly looking at this because if we are constantly growing and getting to a point where we need to move the challenge up, skill better come with it. So, do you need different work that better fits your area of giftedness? That's the question. If your to-do list is dictated by an employer, you've got to ask for change. And this may be difficult and not fun, I get it. But you got to figure out what you need to get to that healthy intersection between challenge and skill. That's where flow happens. So you got to go ask your leaders for what you need. In theory, they should love this. A healthy leader who doesn't have their head up their rear end should enjoy this because it means they're going to have a happier, more engaged, more productive employer. If they say no, well, we just got ourselves a sign, right? Why would they say no to this? Well, there could be a myriad of reasons. But if you want to know when your time is up, and I'm just going to, I want to park here. This exercise is also super clarifying. This idea of if I'm feeling bored, this process works. But if I'm also going, this is beyond bored now. I feel like I've raised my hand a few times. I feel like I've looked for opportunities. Is my time here done? This is also important, this exercise. Because we humans long for growth and progress. We're just wired for it. We're absolutely wired for it. So you got to ask yourself, I've gone to my leader, I've raised my hand here in this scenario I just gave you, and they're not receiving it. Why? Well, it's less about the why. It's more about, when am I leaving? See, we go from, you may never know why. It's a head scratcher. Why would a leader not want to take my desire to learn more skills, accept greater challenges, and not channel that? There's really no defensible answers to why. So now we just go, oh, this is a win. I can't be here long term, or I will get bored, and now my soul will completely escape my body. So I want you to find your flow state. Really identify where that healthy tension is between the challenge and the skill. And man, if you figure that out, you're not going to ever struggle with boredom. And here's the reason why this matters so much. Yes, it's the antidote to boredom, but it really is the fuel for growth. This is how great men and women who do great things and make huge impact, this is how they do it. They keep challenging themselves. and adding skill to meet the challenge. I want to tell you about one of our viewers, Nick. He was a high school chemistry teacher, not making enough for his wife to stay home with their kids. A friend told him about Bethel Tech and their full stack development program, so he enrolled. He got in, he crushed it, he got hired before he even finished. For as little as $5,000 in just 15 weeks of your time, you can learn a skill that will land you a great job in tech. And remember, Ken Coleman viewers get a 10% discount. To find out more, go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Hey, folks, the key to doing the work that allows you to expand your income to its greatest opportunity. In other words, how do I make the most money? I can tell you that it involves meaning. Ramsey Solutions did the largest study on net worth millionaires, and 96% of them said they loved their work. So how do you figure that out? How do you answer the question, what is this thing I'm wired to do? Well, I'm super excited to tell you that our Get Clear assessment, which has helped so many people, we have added something to it. We have written a short book called Find the Work You're Wired to Do. And while the assessment is going to help you answer the question of who you are and why you are that way and what you want to do, it gives you really good ideas. We've written a short book that honestly, I'm so excited about because this book is like me coaching you with your assessment results. Your assessment's going to give you, here's what I'm good at, here's what I enjoy, and these are the results that matter to me. And this allows us to see ourselves as we truly are. This is about identity. And then we get ideas on, well, what could I do and why would I want to do that? And then the book column comes along and says, all right, where is that work? How do we find that work? And then how do we get there? And so I'm very excited about this. These products are paired together. Find the work you're wired to do. This is a great graduation gift, by the way, for high schoolers and college students, anybody who's feeling stuck. It comes with the assessment. Super excited. You get the book, you get the assessment. They work hand in hand together. If you pre-order Find the Work You're Wired to Do now, you're going to get the audiobook and ebook for free. And by the way, each of those comes with assessments. So this is a great deal. Pre-order right now at kencoleman.com. Comes out in May. Pre-order right now at kencoleman.com. The new book is Find the Work You're Wired to Do. And again, not a long book, much shorter than previous books I've written. And this is a coaching manual. It picks you up at your purpose statement and then says, all right, now we're going to figure out where we want to go and how to get there. It's a fabulous, fabulous combo. Get it at kencoleman.com. All right, I want to get to this article here. This is pretty fascinating. We've talked about this in the past, but this is so well written. This is a Wall Street Journal article and editorial, and this is really enlightening. The headline is Americans don't care as much about work, and it isn't just Gen Z. Poor Gen Z. I parent three Gen Z, and they're getting picked on by the media and. Oh, it's all clickable and all that crap. Bottom line is, from a generational standpoint, there are studs and duds in every generation. Studs and duds. And studettes as well, if that matters to those of you. There are stars and there are duds in every generation. And we don't need to just kind of boil this down to Gen Z. But this is a fascinating look at where we are right now in the world of work. This is really important because if you're kind of going, I'm leading people like this, or I'm feeling this, why am I feeling this? So this is an interesting take. And I'm not sure I agree with the headline, but it's really clickable. Headline is Americans don't care as much about work. I think that's really well written and they were taught how to write headlines like that to get you to click. And my team clicked on it and that's why I'm sharing it right now. But if I had an alternate in what I believe to be a true headline, it would be Americans want more than just work. let's unpack this. The unemployment rate right now is still really, really low compared to the pandemic. The pandemic, by the way, will be the, I believe, the most watershed moment in the history of work. If we look back, I think if we go 1,000 years from now, we still look back, I think the pandemic, COVID-19, and how it changed work will be the greatest watershed moment in the history of work. And so that is the central character. So as I give you this, this is where we are now compared to pre-pandemic. Here we go. Unemployment rate, just as low. The amount of people in the labor force, same levels. And wages are growing at roughly the same pace after inflation. Okay. So that's what hasn't changed. What has changed is that work is no longer at the center of American workers' focus like it was prior. In other words, we want more time with our families. We want more time for ourselves. In other words, we want flexibility. We want options. And that changed dramatically. Prior to the pandemic, folks, it was very normal for a lot of Americans, certainly those who were trying to be successful and those that were successful, to say, hey, look, I got to bust it. I got to work extra hours. Working overtime was not a penance. It was a, hey, this is how I beat the competition. By the way, let me just say this. It still is. Now, that's going to make a lot of people that may watch this video upset. And I can just hear the comments coming at me. I don't think I should have to work so hard. And all the griping. I just got to go work for the man. Why? Okay. Look, you get to choose how much you work in relation to your lifestyle. You want to work a part-time job? Change your lifestyle to fit a part-time job. Okay, what I'm saying is hustle has been demonized, but hustle is still a way to win, right? We glorify this in athletics and we poo-poo it in the world of work. Here's what I mean. I think Lawrence Taylor, Nathan, made this quote famous, that somewhere somebody's working out harder than I am or practicing more than me. It was something along those lines. And we glorify that. By the way, it's a great statement. Right. And but it's the athlete, the champion. Yeah, of course, they're getting paid to tackle large people and block large people and tackle fast people and all this. So, yeah, that's great. But as a professional in the workplace, I don't think I should have to ever work extra hours. I don't think I should ever have to get better or learn something new. So here's what's changed. Because of the pandemic, people have now looked at work very, very differently and how they want to work, where they want to work, why they want to work. And it's forcing employers to adapt. We know this, the tension between staying at home and working, coming into the office, the hybrid model. There's a lot of tension still there. Okay. And it's all because, again, and I think this is a good thing, regardless of the tension and what everybody says, I think there needs to be a healthy tension between our work life and the rest of our life to say, you know what? At the end of the day, a little extra money here or there is not as important as a memory per se. So am I willing to adjust my lifestyle? And I think that is a healthy discussion. Now, if employment rises, if unemployment rises soon, let me tell you something, the leverage that we, the people, have in the workplace right now is going to evaporate. Because when you have to have a job, that you've got to be there and you don't have options, well, then you're going to take the conditions that you are offered. So here's what happened. Back to the pandemic. So it shifted just physically, just about everybody. Okay. Now they came up with this crazy term called essential workers where they had to go in, but for millions and millions and millions of others, it was like, you're going home. And so that was a physical shift and it happened instantly. Now, some people loved it. Some people didn't like it. They felt isolated. Some felt both. Maybe it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Either way, what came away from this was we started looking differently at our job. In 2017, 24% of people told Pew that their job or occupation was very important to their identity. In 2021, still essentially for many people, the lingering of the pandemic is still there. Only 17% did. Now, prior to the pandemic, very successful people, people who may identify themselves as workaholics, they were working those longer hours. They were getting after it. And then remote work changed the game. Everybody was at home. They were at home. So now they didn't have this competitive advantage by being in and working longer. So you realize that coming out of this, hey, I kind of like this idea of less work, same amount of money. And that's what's changed everything. In December, 5.5% of jobs were vacant. And in January, 40% of small businesses had at least one unfilled opening. That's because we have more jobs than people, essentially, who are saying, I want to work. And people have options to work from home. So, do we Americans care less about work? No. I actually think we care more about a healthy life. And I think we have come to recognize that I can be productive, I can be effective, but I don't have to be chained to the workplace. And that's shifted. So companies that figure that out, hey, people will work. People do want to make more money, but they want a better life. Leaders, you figure that out, and you're going to have any problem, whether it's in office or out. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. It's time for a coaching session. Let's go to Richie, who joins us in Raleigh, North Carolina. Richie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, what's up, man?
You are. That's what's up.
Awesome. So thanks for letting me be on the show. I really appreciate it. It's a real privilege. And so pretty much what's going on is I've been working in banking for about 7 years now, and I've reached this point where I'm kind of just done with the role that I'm in and not really sure what to do, where to go. Can't really find something that resonates with me. So I did take your assessment a few weeks ago, and I read the results, and I resonate with majority of it. I just don't know what to do next or where to go, or how to use it. So here I am talking to you.
Yeah, this is why, by the way, we wrote the new book, Find the Work You're Wired to Do, is to meet people here because it resonates with you. And my guess is you have some ideas, but you're not quite sure how to select the idea and then maybe how do I get there. Is that fair? Tell me more.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. There are a few things that I'm interested in. I explored it a little bit, but just as I explore it, it's like not resonating 100% with me.
That's fine. Well, we're in the exploration point here, so we're getting as many ideas as we can, and we're looking into them. So I would think that's part of the process here for selection. It's like let's ideate, dig in, and then cross off or go thumbs up. Maybe that's an option. So Where are you most hung up? What's you got the results? You said some of it resonated with you. That leads me to believe there's some confusion even in your results, and it could be as simple as labels that I use that ring one way to me and ring another way to you. I'm just curious. Tell me more.
Now, are you asking like what
your results?
The results were?
Maybe I'm honing in on something too much. But you said it. It sort of or kind of, is there something in your results? And I'm talking about your purpose statement where you go, I don't know.
Okay, good question. Okay, so I would say in my passions, they're finishing, researching, and teaching. I don't see myself specifically being like someone that kind of like checks off a task list. I know I don't really write it down. Maybe it's in my head. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking So
okay,
like,
so
I don't know.
That's good. So finishing is the one that threw you off a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, what about the researching and teaching?
So I definitely resonate with researching. If something interests me, I definitely dive deep into, you know, podcasts or just some kind of content reading to kind of get familiar, with that. And then I do like kind of show and tell. Like I do research stuff, and
okay,
then
great.
I like to talk about it.
Okay,
yeah, so that definitely resonates with
so
me.
What hung you up in the finishing is we give a brief paragraph description of each passion, each talent, and each mission.
Right.
You saw something about you like to get things done, cross things off the list, and you said, well, that's not technically me.
I wouldn't say it's 100% me, not all the time, especially not in work, or at least not right now.
Yeah,
and maybe it's that way. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's that way because I'm just kind of done with
You're hung up on the technicality of how I describe that. But if you look at the rest of the description, and if you look at what others say about you, right, or how you wow others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do those resonate with you as a guy who just gets stuff done?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I guess I'm just hung up on it too much and I can't get out of my head maybe.
Well, I know you're hung up on it. The point is that you love completing something. You love researching and you really love getting stuff done. Is this true or false?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, for
sure. All right, so now we're on the same page. The issue is not how you get it done. The issue is you're a guy who gets really fired up upon completion. Let's get her done, as Larry the Cable Guy would say. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
You love like that. Yeah. All right. So let's dive deep here. What are the type of things up to this point of today's phone call in the world of work that gave you the most juice when you got it done?
Gave me the most juice that got it done.
A task or a role, like when you were getting stuff done at some point in your career, have you gotten a whole lot of excitement going, man, that was a good day. I got this done. Talk to me.
Yeah, I guess when I am helping like a customer and they, you know, they give me a kind of like instructions on how they want to get their task done. I'm on it. I do get it done efficiently. I don't like making mistakes. I want everything done right now. You know, I don't like to wait later. I do like to get this person in and out.
This is a guy who just told me for 5 minutes you didn't think you had the passion for finishing. And you just told us in beautiful language how much you love to finish, right?
I guess you're right.
Yeah. I know I'm right, but it's not about me being right. Those are your answers.
Yeah.
All right. So the question is, what's your missional result? I think I know, but I want you to tell me. What's the thing, the results that you get most motivation about delivering?
Service.
Bingo. That's a people result.
Yeah.
Because if it were efficiency, that's a process result. Do you get that?
Yeah,
I get
that.
So serving is a people-focused result. What were your top three talents?
Compassion, instruction, and communication.
All three of those are people skills, yes or no?
Yes.
Bingo! So here's where we get the ideas. And by the way, this is why I wrote the new book, Find the Work You're Wired to Do, because it meets you at your results, and I walk you through how to look at not just your top three talents, but even your solid talents. We call the top three super talents. And then anything above average is a solid talent. And this is where we find ideas. So now that we know that you're driven towards people, like even the researching part is got to be driven towards a people result. The finishing is all about people results. The teaching is, it's got a person on the other end of that. So there's four types of work, Richie. There's people work, idea work, process work, and object work. Your results are screaming people, and we agree, yes?
Yes.
All right, so here's a fun little exercise I want you to answer. Don't worry about how it sounds. You can edit it later, all right? I want you to answer these questions on the spot, right off the top of your head. Here we go. Just go. You ready? Are you ready, Richie?
Yeah.
You're not going to think. You're going to feel these answers. All right. Who are the people you most want to help?
I would say younger people.
Great.
Young age.
Great. We'll leave it there. We can edit it later. What are the problems or desires that those young people have that you want to help?
Kind of just figuring out what to do next. I don't know if that sounds right, but
doesn't have to sound right. You want to help them figure out what's next in their life?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what solution to that? Like, how would you, what's a solution, a way that you would do that? You would go, Ken, if you paid me to try this for 30 days and I knew I couldn't fail and I didn't have to commit to it, this is what I would, this is how I would try to solution or solve for that.
Definitely some kind of coaching or consulting.
Bingo. All right. Now, are we limited to those answers, Richie? No, we're not. But we have some really clear answers, don't we?
Yeah.
And by the way, your answers, do they line up with your purpose statement? Do you have the talent to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. You do. Do you have a passion for that kind of work?
Yeah.
Do you care deeply for those kind of results, to see people get their light bulb turned on, if you will? Right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, my man.
That does sound right.
All right, so what are all the ways we can do that? And I'm running out of time, so we can't brainstorm that on the air, but you can. You got to dive deeper into those answers. Those first level of answers were good. There's about 5 or 6 layers deeper you can go, so go back to that, and I want you to do it every night or every morning you choose. Write it down on a piece of paper. If you use a pencil, it's easier. If you use a pen, scratch it out. Keep answering those questions. Who are the people I want to help? The problem or desire they have, the solution to that problem or desire that I get fired up about providing. And you do it over and over and over again. And eventually the answers get clearer and clearer and clearer. Do you see that?
Yes.
That's the exercise. And go start hanging around where those people are, who's helping them in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to give you the book, The Proximity Principle, because it's a wonderful, wonderful tool to understand and grab and get around people who are helping those people that you want to help. Get in places where those people you want to help are being helped. And this is where confirmation comes and opportunity comes. This is The Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.